Good morning. I certainly desire your prayers this morning. Thought that's upon my heart after Brother Brad contacted me, came to me, meditations in the night, the Valley of Baca, found in the 84th Division of Psalms in the 6th verse. It says, who passing through the Valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. The Septuagint, Greek translation of the Old Testament, renders that the Valley of Weeping. The Latin Vulgate renders it the Valley of Tears. What we find that it really means is the Valley of Weeping and Lamentation. The Valley of Crying. Sometimes we, especially us men, we think that crying is beneath us. But I hope that the Lord has taught you otherwise in the journey. The location of this is unknown. It's possibly in Palestine, in a poor valley, absent of water. Some think that it was the Valley of Rephaim, meaning the terrible ones, which also may be interpreted giants or departed spirits. Some think it to be the Valley of Anchor, meaning trouble or affliction. But it was expected to be a valley that the Israelites journeyed through on their way to Jerusalem to worship. It definitely was a valley that David was very familiar with. And it can certainly be a representation of the trials of life. Division of Psalms 84 was divided also into three sections, separated by the term Selah, which possibly was a musical term. The first part was longing for God's house. To the chief musician upon guitar, a psalm for the sons of Korah. How ample are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord, and my heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts. My King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. The second portion is those whose hearts are toward God. Starting with the 5th verse. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. The Targum, which is a translation into Chaldee and Aramaic, renders that where it says, strength is in thee, to be the word as in the Messiah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the way of them that were desiring for the Lord's house. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appear before God. In the 7th verse. But we look at the 6th verse. It says, who passing through the valley of Baca, through the valley of weeping, through the valley of tears and lamentations and trials, make it a well. In other words, the crying is indicated as being great. The tears are great. The anguish is real. Who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer, give ear, O God of Jacob. The third portion of that psalm, starting with the ninth verse, behold our God, our shield, and look upon the face of the anointed, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield, and the Lord shall give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in thee. Had some definitions of crying and weeping, lamentation, but I think every one of us has been down the valley. We have traversed through the valley and found that there is a time for tears. I'd like to compare the natural tears and spiritual. Tears produce chemicals in the body. They're a solution of organic substances, primarily composed of water and electrolytes. They protect the eye and fight infection. Harvard Health tells us that women cry about 3.5 times a month and men 1.9 times a month. But I'll tell you, that's not godly crying. A godly Christian will find a lot more tears than that. And at times, even a lot more crying, whether they're tear produced, the heart is crying unto the Lord. The types of tears, says basal or continuous tears lubricate the eyes to protect from infection. Reflex tears are those that take care of debris such as smoke and dust. And then there's emotional tears that flush hormones and other toxins out of the system, which offers benefits. Researchers have established that crying releases endorphins, and these chemicals help both the physical and the emotional pain. You've always heard it said, a good cry makes you feel a little better. I remember comparing that as a young man. I was talked up off the altar, asked if I didn't feel a little better. Any kids had a good cry, feels a little better. That's not salvation. Amen. When God reaches down, takes his finger and touches the soul and purifies that and cleans it up and gives you deliverance, there is something that is impossible for you not to know something happened. Amen. Nobody has to tell you. Nobody has to ask you. You may have a lot of questions, and we certainly don't understand at that time what all God has done for us. But there is relief. We look at spiritual tears. They didn't list spiritual tears. They don't think they understand that. It results when there's an interaction of God with man. Man cries internally as well as outwardly. Amen. all three of the natural tears have a counterpart spiritually. If we think of it, the interaction by God can affect healing and in man both physically and spiritually. Continuous prayer, it's like the basal tears that provide protection on a continual basis. Reflex prayers, when danger appears. Sometimes we have to talk to the Lord. It's almost like throwing a javelin right in the court of heaven. We have an immediate need. And then there's emotional prayers moved by the Holy Spirit, which produce spiritual tears. It's not the emotions as man thinks. I've said a lot of times, salvation, emotion is not salvation. But salvation produces emotion in man. How can someone have the creator of this universe reach down into his soul and change it completely and place the earnest of his spirit in the soul and the individual not have an emotion? It's impossible. He may not show outwardly the same as others that we might be used to. God is aware of our tears, whether they're in silence or whether they're verbal. He has a record. We go to Psalms 56 and 8, and he says, "Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" Let us look a minute at the Valley of Baca. David calls our attention to those who have the love for God's courts, who have a longing to be there as they travel through this journey in the first part of the psalm. He shows the dependence of man upon God for his comfort, for his peace of mind, and for the blessings from the Lord. Although David was a man's man, he was God's man. And he makes it very clear that God's men weep and cry in anguish and pour forth tears also of joy. Amen. The passage of passing through the Valley of Baca can be an example of our human life, this veil of tears. The effect of worshiping the true and living God when there is trouble and sorrow upon every hand. God can provide fountains in the barren deserts. We look at Psalms 107:35. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water and dry ground into water springs. Have you ever felt like that you were in such a dry, barren spiritual journey? And you begin to wonder, and whether it be a song, whether it be a phone call from a brother or sister, whether it be a passage of scripture that your eyes fell upon, all of a sudden there is that touch of God's hand as he stirs in your heart and makes you know that you're not barren, that he has you in the palm of his hand. Amen. Isaiah 41 and 18 says, "I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water." There is weeping for salvation. Weeping for salvation of the unborn. When God brings them to an understanding or to the, as we say, accountability. Prayer and supplication should be made now. Weeping for their souls, salvation, that in the future when they come to that place, that they will honor God and they will seek Him to find Him sweet and precious unto their soul. But they must weep for themselves. Many testimonies you've heard depended upon, they were trying to depend upon mama or daddy, or upon the preacher, or upon some person they had a lot of confidence in. But when they finally got rid of all of them, got into business with God, sometimes we forget how little that can stand in someone's way. I remember back home, an old deacon telling his testimony. He got over the neighbor's fence and got some green apples. Knew they didn't belong to him, but he took them. He's a kid. He said when he went for prayer, seeking the Lord, he said, green apples showed up. Couldn't get past the green apples until he went and apologized to the man. And then God would hear his prayer. He couldn't get past that. No matter how little it might be, man needs to get past all the things of this world and trust in the Lord alone. Amen. Parents, friends, acquaintance need to be praying for their salvation also. We need to have a burden, a specific burden for lost ones. We need to also have a burden in general for lost humanity. Amen. And if you didn't have, I wouldn't expect you to be here. There's weeping for life's hardships, for health. We see Job say in the 16th chapter, 16th verse, my face is foul with weeping and my eyelids the shadow of death. A lot of his weeping, not only concerning his health, but actually concerning why, God. We don't always get the answer to why, but God's in control. Hezekiah, as you remember, when he was told, you're going to die, he turned his face to the wall and wept sore unto the Lord. God heard his prayer and answered it. There's weeping in the valley for the loss of loved ones. But for those that are saved, that weeping can be turned to joy with the understanding, the knowledge that we will see them again. Amen. Looking to meet them on heaven's bright shore. But there's a weeping for those that are lost. Died without God, and that weeping is of no value. Most of the time we're weeping because of our remembrance of our failure to follow the leadership of God to reach out to those people. That hurts us the most, but it's too late. But we can learn from that to always remember that when God gives us the impression to move, because God has a timeline. You don't know how long that person's going to live that God impressed you to go see, go talk to. They may not be here tomorrow. We see in the 16th chapter of Luke the destiny of those that die without God. There is a need of weeping for life's direction in a vocation. A lot of times we encourage kids to study this or study that or whatever, but one of the things that we need to especially counsel them to talk to the Lord, to seek out what God would have them to pursue as a vocation. Amen. And that can take weeping and crying and coming to accept the will of God. Amen. When you have a plan, when you know what God wants you to do, then you need to continually ask for God's direction in the schooling that you take. When you have a job, when you're on the job, you need to continually ask God for direction, for the opportunities to influence those around you. Amen. For the opportunities even for promotions. But remember, God needs to be your go-to man, not mankind. We need to teach our young at a young age to weep and seek and pray and cry unto the Lord for a life spouse. We need to teach them that they should never date someone who they know that God wouldn't want them to marry. There's been a lot of weeping over bad results from failing to follow that one thing in God's word. There's also prayer and weeping of one overwhelmed. Sometimes the journey of life can be overwhelming. A lot of times we hear about people having a depression. Brothers and sisters can encourage one another and need to. But we need God's help. And we need God's help to help them. When one is overwhelmed, we always need to go to God that we might handle them in a godly manner, in a loving manner, and encourage them and strengthen them. There is weeping for the deliverance of one's life, like that Hezekiah was praying for. David also in the Psalms in the 6th chapter, he said, I am weary with my groaning all night. Make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eyes consume because of grief. It waxes old because of all mine enemies. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication, and the Lord will receive my prayer. We find in the scriptures various examples. One weeping where the king's order was to destroy all the Jews. Mordecai putting on the sackcloth and ashes, going and weeping, and there was weeping in all the areas that the information was shed abroad that the Jews were to be killed. God heard and answered prayer. But see, God, knowing beforehand, had already prepared. I think the question was to Esther, are you not here in essence at this time for this purpose? Paraphrased. God prepared her. God prepared Mordecai. And God gave the victory. When we become discouraged, sometimes we need to realize that God wrote the book And the last chapter says, we won. Amen. We look at other weeping in the scripture. Jacob weeping for the death of his son that he thought was dead. Would not be consoled. We find Esau weeping for a lost blessing that he forfeited. We find there are many family divisions and unions and reunions in the scripture. When Jacob met Rachel, there was weeping for joy. When Jacob was reconciled back to Esau, there was weeping of joy. But can you imagine the emotion and the weeping when Joseph made himself known to his brethren that had sold him as a slave? They were afraid, but Joseph said, God prepared this. God's hands been in this. God did this. You see, sometimes we come to that place of almost being overwhelmed with the situation before we realize God's hand is in it. And we need to trust Him. Whether Joseph ever had any idea he'd ever see his brethren again, we don't know. But we know that he was overwhelmed and wept greatly at the reunion to restoration with his brother. We found David weeping sadly at the overthrow of his son Absalom. We find also recorded the need of weeping due to the departing from the Lord. In Jeremiah 9, 1 through 3, oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. For they proceed from evil to evil, that they may, and they know not me, saith the Lord. How sad. We find also references to weeping because people fail to regard the sin that they walked in. Those that would cry, and God said, I won't hear you because you have rejected me. We find Israel weeping, seeking the Lord after the punishment of Babylon, which has already been mentioned this morning. Jeremiah 50, verse 4, in those days and the times that the Lord, the children of Israel, shall come, and they and the children of Judah together, going and weeping, they shall go and seek the Lord their God. Lamentations 2 and 18 says, their heart cried unto the Lord. O wall of the daughters of Zion, let tears run down like a river day and night. Give thyself no rest. Let not the apple of thine eye cease. We find a call for repentance in Jeremiah. We find also a great warning when there is no repentance. And we see the destruction that many family members, friends, and acquaintances that have been saved, that walk in forbidden pathways, and God calls them for repentance, and they refuse. Weeping is only effective when there's the door of opportunity. And that's both with our situations in our life. That's with those that are lost. That's our opportunity to pray for them, but only when that door of opportunity. God teaches us to weep for our sins. Joel 2 and 12, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even unto me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your heart, and not your garments. Turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Psalm 69, 1 and 2, to the chief musician upon Shushism, a psalm of David, save me, O God, for the waters are come into my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come in deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried, mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. We find cry of mercy of the two blind men that followed after Jesus, crying out to have mercy upon us. Weeping, confessing our sins. And Ezra said, when Ezra had prayed and he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled in him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very sore. Also, there was the weeping that's been mentioned of the remembrance of the first house. There's weeping for foolish rebellion. There's weeping in the scriptures of the soldiers and the people for the destruction of Moab, an evil city. Judgment comes on evil, but men still weep. We look in Ezra 27, 31, 32. They shall make themselves utterly bald for thee and gird them with sackcloth, and they shall weep for thee with the bitterness of heart and bitter wailing, and the wailing, and they shall take up lamentation for thee and lament over thee, saying, what is a city like Tarshish? And they go on, Babylon. We even find where that they weep for the idol god Tammuz. Said even the Israelites, when they went into idolatry, that they were following after that and weeping over those foolish things. We find weeping sometimes can be false and deceptive. When Ishmael killed 70 of the 80 men that came into the city, he went toward them weeping, and with a false weeping. We need to always consider, you know, not every kid or every adult that comes to the altar and sheds many tears have the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And we have to wait upon that. But we need to weep and fight against evil in our lives. James says in chapter 4 and verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. There's a special time of weeping at the crucifixion of Christ. The disciples were weeping. In Luke 23 and 27 says, there followed him a great company of people and the women which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. Mary came to the tomb after that he had been put in a barred tomb. She stood without the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. As you know, that the stone had been rolled away. Seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the foot, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Sometimes he doesn't let us know right at the time we think we want to know. Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell us where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. We'll get to the joy in a minute. But also, as Brother Bronner brought out about the candlestick being removed, there is a great need for us to be mightily praying and weeping unto the Lord that the candlestick might not be removed, but that there might be a resurgence of the Lord's presence, and that God's people might fall before him and humble themselves, and that we might see people saved and God's churches strengthened. Amen. Weeping for joy. Psalms 30, verse 4 and 5. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his. Give thanks at the resemblance, at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Jesus in John 16 said, verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your joy, your sorrow shall be turned into joy. He gives the example of a woman when she's in travail, has sorrow because her heir is come. But as soon as she's delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. In Galatians 4 and 6, another reason to weep for joy. Because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The Lord will turn mourning into joy. There's no Valley of Baca in the New Jerusalem. There's no tears in heaven. Isaiah 65 and 17 says, for behold, I create new heaven and new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind, but be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Revelation 21:4, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things passed away. No valley of Baca there. No tears. We're just pilgrims, strangers passing through this land of sin and sorrow. I want to go back just a moment. Martha, when she realized who it was, it was the Lord, you can imagine the joy that she had. And then when the disciples were meeting and were in grief, and it came, the Lord showed up. It says in the scripture, and then they were glad when they saw the Lord. But you know, I think that's a bit of an understatement in our language today, because I think there would be some weeping and joy and probably some old time, what we would call old time Baptist shouting, because of the joy of seeing him. In conclusion, I want to go to Hebrew 11th chapter. These all died in faith. Speaking of the heroes of faith in that chapter. But also it speaks of all of those that wept and found the Lord. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off. They were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. May God bless you. There's additional information in the appendices that you can study from online. Thank you.